Well, praise the Lord. It is good to worship the Lord. I tell you what, the devil would like nothing better than to silence the people of God. Ain't going to happen. Now, for those of you at home right now, real quick, we are going to partake of communion here in a moment. So if you want to get your elements, if you got water, cracker, whatever, it's just a representation. But anyhow, I tell you what, the number of hands, I was standing in the back, you know, yeah, this thing stinks to high heaven. There's no way to look at it and say, yay, let's do it again, right? But the truth of the matter is, nearly every hand in here went up and said, when she asked, did something good come out of it? To which is what I want to say to the people at home, don't stop. We have people all over the place still. Do not stop tuning in. We're going to carry it on even if we have to record it on my phone. And you know, I know for a long time people thought maybe I was kidding a little bit about our high-speed, low-drag camera system back here. But when, as you can quite see, I was not kidding. It's a 99-cent selfie stick, a five-year-old cell phone, and a ladder. So, praise God. It will suffice. But I am so excited for what God's doing in the earth right now. We're going to talk about some things today. You know, every time, it seems to be the thing, whenever I speak with believers, this is what comes up. It doesn't matter what church they go to, whether we know each other real well, as soon as you find out we're believers, what do you think about? Well, let's talk about this. So I'm going to bless the tithe and offering real quick, and then we'll do our communion. Father, I thank you and praise you, Lord. Father, that your word is true, that every word of man is a lie, but your word and your word alone is what is truth. Now, Father, you said if we bring our tithes and offerings into the storehouse, that you would open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessing, that we would not have a room to receive, and that you would rebuke the devourer for our sake. Now, Lord God, we trust you in all things. Father, we present to you today our tithe and our offering. Lord God, we know that it is holy. Receive it now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I would ask you to sit, but you might as well stay standing as the praise team goes to their seats. What? Oh, geez. Good thing I'm used to eating off the floor. Unless you want to. Okay. Angela said the other day, she said, you know, they make those little packets. They've already got the little bit of juice in them and the little wafer in them. Anybody ever had those wafers? They're like the egg carton styrofoam, right? You're like, is it going to dissolve? Now, for those people that are getting a little crazy right now, all I got's water, Pastor. I got cran grape. So I'm not saying there may not be a face or two made. It may have just enough tartness to light me up. So, but praise God. You know, when Jesus, the night he was betrayed, he had a Passover meal with his followers. And he picked up a loaf of bread and he said, this is my body that will be broken for you. When it was broken, he took the bruises, the pain, the stripes for our healing. That's what Isaiah 53:5 says. By his stripes, we were healed. That means it's a done deal. Doesn't mean the devil's not going to try to take you out. Doesn't mean things aren't going to come your way. Doesn't mean the diseases aren't going to come around, right? If you've been around for a minute, you know that this is true. And he said, this is my body that's broken for you. Let's partake of that body. Now, Father, we thank you for the body of Christ. Father, that it was bruised, it was beaten, and it was broken for us. For the remission of our sins. Father, for our healing. For our physical healing. For our spiritual healing. For our emotional healing. And then he picked up the glass of wine in front of him. And he said, this is my blood that will be poured out as a ratification of a new covenant. Anybody who knows anything knows that this country's freedom was not bought with olive oil, with an ale, with a shot of whiskey. It was bought with the blood of the patriots who stood and said no to tyranny. And Jesus was saying, this blood ratifies the covenant. The devil no longer has a right to you. I break that now. Hallelujah. Let's partake. And now, Father, we thank you for the blood of Christ. Father, we thank you that he ratified that covenant, that we may now be your children. Lord, I thank you that he paid that price we could not pay. And now, Father, we receive what you have done, what Christ has done through the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated, and there are some workers next door. Praise God. Well, I tell you what, it has been an interesting, we'll just keep saying it every time, it has been an interesting couple months now. You can't turn the TV on without there being something about it. You can't go anywhere where there's not a nod to it. This thing has taken, actually, in my opinion, in many people's cases, it has taken the place that God should be in their lives. They talk more about COVID, they talk more about Corona, they talk more about their governors, health departments, whatever, than they do God. And I'm here to tell you, folks, while it is on our forefront, I'm going to talk about some things today, but before I get there, we have got to talk about God. Where this thing doesn't bow to anything but God. And so as I was praying and asking the Lord what message you want me to bring, because part of me is like, I don't know about you, but like I said it last week, I catch a little bit blip of the news, I get caught up, and I turn the garbage off. All of the channels. Okay? I get what I need to know and turn them off. Because it now becomes my God. It's telling me what to think. And I need to ask God, what is the truth? What is in this? You know, the other day I saw a headline that came up. And, you know, like, I'll see them and I'll scan through. Now, I'll laugh at your funny jokes. I'll laugh at, you know, guys looking at fish and the fish aren't biting, so he starts shooting the fish. And, but anyhow, and I posted that because Jesse was fishing one day and he looked down and there's a trout right there beside him. And he's like, seriously? I'm right here. I can see you. Why are you not biting? And, but anyhow, we've wrapped ourselves up in this thing, and we do need to talk about it, because I firmly believe we are seeing things establishing right now in front of our faces, times for the return of Christ. When I say return of Christ, I am actually talking the rapture of the church. I do believe there is a rapture. I'm not going to argue when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen. It's just going to happen. That's why they didn't tell us a whole lot of details. Because here's part of the problem. While, and this happened in 2001 with the towers, churches were overrun for about a month after the towers fell. And then slowly, people started going back to their old ways as life got back to normal. I don't want normal, folks. I don't want things to be the same as they were. I want us to be on fire. That doesn't mean we're running around screaming and laying hands on people and trying to cast out demons that aren't there. It means we're telling people about God. that we're not afraid. We are emboldened with the courage because hell is for real. I believe it was Jimmy Evans, wasn't it, the other day, talking about the devil. And how, what was the percent? 40%? 60% of the church doesn't believe the devil's real. No devil. There's no devil. Come on. There is a devil. And he is here to take over. Now, how is he going to do that? He's going to do that through the Antichrist. But you need to understand, this spirit of Antichrist has been in this world ever since God put Adam in the garden. It was not the serpent just laying around one day saying, I think I'm going to try to talk that man into eating that fruit. According to the book of Enoch, the serpent was talked into it. Fast forward, the other side of the flood. Anybody heard the little name of Nimrod? Besides calling somebody a Nimrod? Nimrod was a real king, ancient king. He's believed to be the one responsible for the Tower of Babel. Now, God did not care for them building the tower. Do you understand? If that was the case, then the Burj Khalifa would be smashed. Okay? It would be decimated. It was because of the pride and arrogance in which they were building. They were elevating themselves to be like God. If we can get to heaven, we can get to God. Keep on going. You got the Greeks. How about the Romans? Everybody was bent on world domination. They wanted control of the entire world. Now, very few people knew of the North American continent and Central and South America, but it was known. They're finding facts that Columbus was not the first one here. But everybody knew about Europe and Asia and Africa. And that was the whole world to them at the time. Never mind the fact there's a landmass on the other side almost as big. And so everybody thought they ruled the world. But every one of those empires crumbled to a lesser empire. Well, they were greater. They overpowered them. No, pride is what brings the fall. The Roman Empire, first off, was brought down from within. Arguing and bickering within. I've seen reports talking about the country will not recover from the mask, no mask. People are that hell-bent on going to hell that they will decide, we're going to fight over whether you wear a mask or not. You want to wear a mask, go ahead. I've wore them doing work, and when you take them off, if you think you had dragon breath in the morning, you have been breathing in your own oxygen or carbon dioxide all day long. And by the way, that's about the time you realize you had coffee breath, because it just stays in your mask and you keep breathing it all day. If a store requires that I wear a mask, it's their store. Okay, that's all I got to say about it. It's their store. It's their right. I serve for that right. They have that right. Now, I may not just go in there and spend more money than I need. I may just go in there and get what I need to go and go get out of Dodge, right? Because I don't like wearing in things. I can't breathe. I hate breathing hot air. So we keep coming forward. The Roman Empire was brought down by the barbarians. They weren't even these people. That's why when we use the word barbaric, it means uneducated, typically unrefined type people. When they took over, when they brought Rome down, you can ask Joe when you get to talk to him. They destroyed public utilities, running water, toilets. They destroyed all the good things. Hey, let's not use a sewer system. Let's just keep doing it in the street. By the way, if y'all want to know how diseases kept getting passed back in the day, why you think, y'all, how many of you, I know, I'm gonna get some people in trouble here. Most of you have seen Monty Python, Search for the Holy Grail, right? Remember anybody throwing their buckets out the window? Well, it wasn't mop water. That's how they did it. As a matter of fact, this was so prevalent that even up until the Revolutionary War, when Washington was faced with, they were about to go under, and he brought in a Prussian general to say, hey, how many of y'all realize Washington was not military? He got his rank because he's wealthy. Huge mistake. That's all I got to say. You don't put somebody in general just because they're rich. Well, by the way, it's still happening. People get in positions because they got money. But he didn't know how to lead his troops. So this general came in and said, first off, tell your men to quit using the facilities outside their tents. They were stirring diseases and attracting bugs. Create an area over here for them to do that. Start cleaning things up. And to this day, I tell you, the military follows that. That stuff is way over there. You do your business over here. You don't go outside your hooch and relieve yourself. Now, keep coming forward. England, trying to take over the world, right? That's why we had so many colonies. They tried to take over the world. They got to here. They established a colony. And, well, those doggone rebellious colonists, they said, we're not going to serve you. And they overtook the most powerful country in the world. You know, people think that, well, you know, they were well-armed. No. Read your history books. Some of these guys went out with their pitchforks. And the guy in front of him, when he got shot, he laid down the pitchfork, and he picked up the weapon. And they kept going that way. Half of them went barefooted. You know, when I was a child, I ran around barefooted all the time. Stubbing my toes, they looked awful by the time school started. But when I became a little older, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't walk out in my grass with bare feet anymore. I don't know what's happened. I know my feet's gotten soft. I'm like, I don't like those little bumps. And I used to step on bees all the time. Really didn't like that. And so we get into the 1900s. We have World War I. Germany's involved. World War II. Not many people know that Germany and Japan had an agreement on the dividing the world. Germany would take over Europe. Japan would take over part of China, all the islands, Asia, and head to the United States. That was their downfall. Their pride and arrogance. But you need to understand, it's the same spirit that was in the garden. That exact same spirit kept getting people to say, hey, let's take over the world. Now here's a problem with the church. Let's take over the world. No. See, Christ gave us the decision. Well, then if you don't follow, we'll kill you. Totally. This is what happened. I'm not joking. Again, ask our local historian. He will tell you the early church in the dark ages of 1500s, after 300 BC or AD, as you were, after 300 AD, up for a long time, the church had a military that was unchallenged. And if you did not convert, they killed you. Can anybody find in your Bible where Jesus said to kill them if they rejected? He said no. He said, turn around, shake the dust off your feet, and go to the next town. Nowhere did he say kill people if they don't receive me. See, some of that stuff started happening in this country. Well, you don't want to accept Jesus? Well, you're a savage. We'll kill you. You need to accept our religion. No, they didn't. We needed to offer it. It's called free will. I mean, I like free will. I don't know about you. I don't like people telling me. Yeah, obviously. So, we're going to look in our Bibles this morning. 1 John chapter 4. Again, this is in the New King James for those of you following at home in regular King James or any other translation. It said, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come into flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Now, he was alive during the Roman Empire. And he said the Antichrist is already here. But yet, they know there's something else coming, right? Something that I think this generation will see. You are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because he who is in the world is greater than he who is in, or as you were, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. I missed a line on my bifocals here. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The world wants to take things over. That's all it's about. Control. We want to rule. This is not the people themselves speaking. It's what we got to keep in mind. It's not necessarily them. It's the spirit of the Antichrist. And I personally believe, as many people that I've talked to, I talked to an insurance guy the other day on the phone, and he knew it was a church. He said, what do you think, what's your take on things going on right now? He said, I'll tell you what I think. He said, I think it's a setup. We're setting up for the Antichrist. I said, exactly. I said, I think we're about to see things change on the world scene like never before. I've talked with medical professionals. we won't even go down this road. But what we're seeing is people being manipulated and controlled. Jesus told us, or the word tells us one thing about fear. God did not give us a spirit of fear. So where does the spirit of fear come from? Well, God gives us love. Fear must be from the world. The world controls us with fear. Well, you'll be missing out. Just as I told you before, middle church, we'll call them. We won't go and call them early church. Early church was up to 300. They were the movers and the shakers. After Rome got involved, the church began missing its calling. We sold out for control. Popes led armies against innocent people. It really is awful when you go back and look at the history. No wonder people don't want to be part of the church. Well, you either follow or we kill you. That was the option. That's fear. That is not love. That would be like me going over to Angela's house that day and say, well, you're going to go out with me or else. Fortunately, she liked me, so she was going to go out with me. I didn't have to threaten anything. Although I think I did motivate her. I said, but I'm leaving in less than a month, or in about a month, for the Marines. So you got to make up your mind now. We're looking at a day and age right now in which fear. That's why I tell you, get the highlights of your news and then turn it off. If you want to get in something, get in your word. And don't be trying to chase down people's messages on when Jesus is going to return. Just stop it. I like Jimmy Evans said something the other day. I like what he had to say about this. He said, there is nothing that needs to happen now. Absolutely nothing. And he shared some of his personal beliefs. We're allowed to have personal beliefs. Amen? You're allowed to have a slightly differing opinion of things. Because here's what we need to understand about prophetic books. No one person, I believe, has the market on them. The Jews were expecting Jesus to come as a reigning and ruling king when he came as a baby. So they were expecting somebody to come into Rome and clean Rome's clock, and they didn't. He came as a baby. So they totally missed it. Their own prophets missed it. Their own scribes and Pharisees missed it. Everybody missed it except for some wise people We don't even know who they really were. But they studied and they saw the sign of the king and they knew there was a prophecy about it. So they followed it. And it led them to a place, pretty much a dust bowl. And they said, there's a new king here. We're going to see things changing. But Jesus told us to hold out. Don't be moved by these things. If you want to look, read some of the things about what Jesus had to say, Matthew chapter 24, Mark chapter, I want to say 13, Jesus is talking about his return. And he's talking about a couple different things if you look down through there. But there's parts he said, if you will hold on, you will be saved. He also said, pray that you may be found worthy to escape. Now, for all those people that said the Bible, and I was one of them there for a long time until people actually started giving scriptures. This does indicate that there is a way of escape from what the world is going to go through. Listen, if you think that the last 8 weeks, 9 weeks, whatever it's been, has been horrendous, wait until they start killing people publicly. Well, that would never happen. There's things in this country that I thought would never happen. There's people that should be in jail walking around free. Never before did we think that billionaires would be hosting pedophile parties. Did we? And yet here it is. It was happening under our nose the whole time. Now we, as Christians, we don't need to focus on the world's sin. We need to focus on loving people. Don't be going out and pointing out everybody's sin. Just stop that. You're not doing yourself any good. Well, I'm going to rise up against the Antichrist. You're going to die. What do you think Jesus said? Where the bodies are, the eagles will gather. Those eagles are buzzards. The bodies are dead. Well, I'm going to bring the Antichrist down. No, you're not. The word said he is given power to war against the saints and overcome them. That's for all the people that think they're going to take their firearms and go stand against him. We need to remember what Paul said, or as you were, John was saying here. He said, we're not of this world. Greater is he who is in us than he that is in this world. We know our enemy, Satan, isn't of this world. He's the one that serves things. That's what people, here's a few things for you real quick. First off, it will not be called the New World Order. You can relax on that. Just relax. The mark will not be the actual number 666. I have said that for years now. The number will not be 666. So all these knuckleheads that went out and got 666 tattooed on their bodies are morons. This number 666 is a culmination of the extreme human audacity. I believe it's going to represent three things. Fear, greed, or lust, same difference. And pride. You need to understand, the beast that emerges in Revelation 13, it comes out of the sea. The sea represents the people. The seven-headed beast with 10 horns and 10 crowns comes out of the sea with one wounded head. I wrote in my Bible years ago that this will be a nation that is, with a question mark, I put, will this be a nation that has experienced extreme financial ruin? Sound familiar? Well, you're getting into conspiracy theories. I'm pointing out some things that were bold and plain in your word, and I'm not writing it in a book so that you can go out and make a movie out of it. I'm here to tell you, folks, most of y'all seen the Pirates of the Caribbean, right? The first one, which Captain Barbossa said, do you believe in, was it horror stories? Anybody remember what he said? do you believe in ghosts or do you believe in ghost stories? And he looks at Jackie and he steps out into the moonlight and he said, because you're in one. Folks, you're in the end times. More so than John was, and John thought they were in the end times. But we're now seeing how things can be established on the world. Around the world, boom. I can get on my cell phone right now, and I can call somebody in Japan. 50 years ago, I couldn't do that. 40 years ago, I couldn't do that. 30 years ago, I had to pay $2 a minute to do that. Because that's what it cost. We're living in a day and age which we're starting to see all this stuff come together. But here, let me go back to that beast. There's something missing that people forgot. It said, and on this beast was a blasphemous name. Now, I don't know what the name is going to be. I've been trying to figure it out. Like, God, what kind of... Because we know what blasphemous means, right? It means you are thinking you're God. That's the whole point of the Antichrist. He's trying to make people worship him. In the end, he will force people or they will die. You either take the mark or you don't buy and sell. That's all there is to it. And so he has on his name, or on as the organization has a name that is blasphemous to God. Just as the Tower of Babel was being built to elevate the pride of mankind to be a god, to be equal with God on that plane. Because you need to understand, they were now fallen. They could not be equal with God. They couldn't even go to God until Jesus Christ came. Okay? God, at that point, never came back to the earth to walk in the garden as he once did with Adam. So, this thing has a name that is blasphemous, and it's in pride. I think the mark will equal something that will point out the pride and arrogance of man. Look what we overcame. We did it without God. I shared, I believe it was last week, how I felt about what the corona was about. That I believe Fauci believed what he was saying was true. I mean, the evidence is pointing to it. He knew a little bit more about it than anybody in the United States. But he expected all this massive stuff. But here's the problem. He ran up against a believing body of Christ in this country who believes in the power of God. And I know other churches around began to pray against this thing and curse it. Yeah, it killed people. But they were expecting for millions of us to be dead. In the entire country, there's under 30,000 out of 350 plus million people. That's still less than the flu that comes every year, right? So what did they do? They used fear. But the only reason that it didn't totally work right now is because we're still here. We represent the power of God right now. That's why they want to shut churches down. That's why churches are the number one thing. They don't want you to hear. They don't want people online on Facebook. That's why they're starting to censor stuff. They don't want you to know that there's a great God who loves us. That's what John, I would rather preach anything that John ever taught. If I only had one person to preach out of their books, it would be John. I get that Peter finally got the revelation of some things about Jesus. I get that Paul had great revelation about the freedom. But John had a revelation of who Christ and who God is. Because every time you turn around, he's talking about love. God is love. And that's the spirit that's in us. It's not fear. Again, if you have to coerce somebody to do something, that's not love. You're using fear. I don't even need to see a show of hands. Boy, you either do that or I'm going to beat your butt, right? I know I'm not the only one that heard that. Girl, I see some girls in here. You better do that. But how audacious of it is it of this world to say there is now neither male nor female? When in the beginning, the Bible says God created man, male and female. He created them. we've crossed a line in the world as a whole. There's so much more that's going on behind the scenes, but we don't need to be caught up in trying to figure out the conspiracy theory. You're not going to stop it. Sorry. So as a believer, what should you be doing? Telling people, get ready. Heaven Southwestern's on its way. That's a song about a train coming to pick us up. We're about to see the world change in such a way. Nothing. Nothing should ever be the same. And believers, we should rejoice. I don't have dread. You know, I've told Angela, I said, you know, it honestly, it was just 4 short years of my life. But I understand now what I stood for during those 4 years. And I said, and it breaks my heart that this country is willingly turning its back on the very things that me and so many other people in this country have fought, bled, and died for. Well, Pastor, the Bible doesn't say anything about the United States. No kidding, the United States didn't exist. By the way, Greece was not represented by the leopard. Greece was represented by an owl. Did you know? I know Joe knew that. You know how we use the eagle? Everybody always says that in the prophecy it was Greece, but it wasn't because that's what represented them. It was the wise old owl that represented Greece. The bear. Well, yeah, we know Gog and Magog. We got Russia. We've got Persia coming against Israel. These people hate Israel. I pointed out to somebody the other day, there are the seven top countries in the world for economic power right now. The United States, Russia, China. Those are the top three. I forget the exact order of the other four, but it goes Germany, go figure, France, England, Japan. Seven, right? And in the last several wars, all of those countries have been involved. They've been major powers. Okay? Anybody want to take a stab at see who number eight is? It's Israel. The new beginning. Israel is number eight. As far as economic power in the world. This beast coming out of the sea, out of the peoples, is nothing more than an economic powerhouse. Yeah, the United States may be broken financially, but we still have one thing that nobody else in the world has. You got 1.5 billion people, that's fine. We still have you on army. Our military strength. Oh, I'm not even talking about the active duty or reserve people. I'm talking about all the rednecks running around in the woods in camouflage, shooting squirrels. That's why the United States is a part of it. I believe it was it Brezhnev that said, we can't beat you militarily, but we'll convince your young people that it's better. That's paraphrased. I wasn't alive when he said it, just so you know. It was a long time ago. Some of you might have been teenagers. But what I'm saying is we're in an exciting time here right now. We have within us the power. Don't let the world take your peace. Nothing is happening that God didn't allow. God knew this was going to come. Absolutely, positively. He knew the flood was going to come. He knew the second the first drop of rain was going to hit the ark. And he knew he had to get Noah's backside into that and shut the door. Because how many of y'all remember who shut the door? Anybody remember? It was God. God shut the door on the ark, meaning no man could ever open it. How about Lot? There was a predestined time for destruction to hit. And the angels and Lot kept dragging his feet. Oh, but oh, but you know, this place, you know, and they finally just said, forget it. I don't know. Here's what I like to think took place. Angel hit him with a right hook, threw him over his shoulder, grabbed one daughter under the arm, the other one grabbed a daughter and a wife, and they ran out of the city because destruction was going to happen. And it said they were just a little ways off, and destruction hit. God needed them righteous people out of there. Now we know Lot's wife looked back because her heart was really there. I mean, Lot was the one dragging his feet. He really loved it. But she looked back. Her heart, she was even more sold out to it. So, if we're going to be looking at these times, look at them as Jesus is coming very soon. Jesus even told a parable, and he said, you know, if the man of the house had known at what time the thief was coming, he'd have been ready. He said, you be ready for the return of the Son of Man. You don't know the day, you won't know the hour. So what's that tell us, folks? Be ready every minute. I was talking to our sound man last week, and I said, I forget how it came up, and I said, is this where you want to be when Jesus comes back? Or it was in reference to something else, and we were talking about the people who are taking jobs snitching on churches and other people who are out and about living. Yes, they are real. But he brought that up. He's like, yeah, is that what you want to be doing when Jesus comes back, telling on his church? Hey, Jesus, they're having church. Woo, come get them. Listen, the Antichrist can only do so much right now because we're here. Who still holds the keys to the kingdom? We do. He does not is given power and authority in full, unchecked control until we're out of here. That's why you want to be found worthy of escape. Amen? You at home. You want to be found worthy to leave with Jesus. He said, two men will be sleeping in the bed. Evidently, that was the way they did it back then. One will be left. Two women will be working in the fields. One will be taken. Poof. Just like that, folks. In other words, keep living life, for starters. Oh, but I gotta get to the wilderness. I gotta get my apocalyptic supplies gathered up. You ain't gonna need them. Take what you need for now. If it gets down to it, Jesus can make manna come again. And I'm hoping it has no carbs. I have got to get rid of the last 6 months of doing nothing. Quail, little birds that fly knee high, you can just hit them with a stick. I mean, come on. He turned water into wine. He knows how to take care of his people. I'm not a fan of seeing animals slaughtered to just be buried. But I'm telling you, it's a setup. Everything is a setup. It's preparing the way. There's no other way to put it. Nothing will ever be the same. Nothing will ever be the same now. But I promise you one thing. I don't want to be the same. I want to be ready. I want to be ready to preach the gospel when it's time. And that's just not me. Jesus was not preaching to preachers. He was talking to the everyday people. He said, don't be concerned with what you're going to say. Don't practice what you're going to say, because he said, I'll put the words in your mouth that day. I remember, most of you remember Moses, right? He's just he's got a small part in biblical teachings. But what was his excuse to God? Lord, I can't speak well. I don't speak well. Well, that's okay. Your brother does. We'll use him. I've looked in my Bible. The vast majority of the time, it was Moses speaking. And it's believed that Moses stuttered. The power of God came on that man, and he was able to speak clearly and with authority to, at that time, the most powerful kingdom in the world and say, "You're going to regret this," and walk away. There's so many parallels on things, folks, and we're not, like I said, I don't have enough time to get into it all today. I don't even know if I'm going to carry on much further than this. I just want you to know, this is what I believe is starting to happen. I'm not going to try to figure out how to get an end time assault club going. There's no point. Well, it sounds like you're just rolling over. Oh, no. I'm still going to use the power I've got of voting. I'm still going to vote for the people that I believe are right. Amen. It's a must. But I'm not going to lose my salvation or my joy because somebody I didn't like got in office. I told you years ago, God told me, how long into it was it that did I share that with you? I know I shared it. But God gave me a dream one night that Obama had become president. 6 months at least before the election. And I remember the depression I felt. No. And it's not because he was a black guy. Had nothing to do with it. Absolutely nothing. There's a few others I'd love to have seen in there. Maybe Ben Carson would be a good one. And there's a few other guys. Been great. I remember a depression that I felt with that. Fast forward to when the election actually happened. Do you know how many Christians? We laugh at the left when they showed all the pictures of the people screaming, no, when Trump was elected. The church did the same thing. It just wasn't televised. There were preachers that should be out preaching the gospel that were trying to rail the body of Christ for him being elected. Do you understand? He's there because God wanted him there. Hello? All authority is only given by God. He was given the power to have that position. I got some other thoughts on all that. We're just not going down that road. But God was behind it. Well, it's only the Democrats that are going to lead us into this. Oh no, Republicans are going to take us hook, line, and sinker too. It wasn't just the Senate or the Republic or the in Rome that was the downfall. It was all of them. We have to make sure that we're telling people about Jesus. We need to make sure that we are prepared. Remember, the spotless and blameless. That's taking care of yourself. You take care of your life. Tell other people. Don't worry about trying to get them. Man, get them saved. Get them in their Bible. You, get in your Bible. If you read anything in Revelation, make sure you go back and read some John. Get in love. You don't want to go off half-cocked. This is what's going to happen. No, not everything happens the way that we think. The beast came out of the water with the wounded head. The one head was already wounded. So just keep that in mind. It was wounded from the beginning of the vision. So we're going to see so much happening. When you get up in the morning, say, "Thank you, Jesus. I'm alive. Thank you that I can teach my children about you. Help me to introduce you to other people." And let me help you. You don't need to take your Bible and beat them over the head with it. Take opportunities. People are wanting. They want to know. Not everybody wants to go to hell. They really don't. But all they remember is the church that I've described to you, a church that said, "Either convert or we kill you." That's not exactly a great platform to be running on to try to get people saved, is it? Seriously, I didn't run off and become a Muslim terrorist. I don't believe they're all terrorists, but they all need Jesus. And I'm not joining any group that's going to go over there and try to wipe everybody out. Talk about futile. You got to keep something in mind. They still have the blessing of Abraham in their life. Well, I don't believe that. Well, he said, I'll bless all your descendants. And is not Ishmael a descendant of Abraham? Absolutely. Like I said, I'm not going to focus a whole lot on that in the coming weeks. I'm going to preach what God is leading me to preach. I want people to get out and know who God is. That God is a God of love. He's not, he's got his foot on the brakes of this thing. He's like a train trying to hit the brakes to keep from hitting a cow in the middle of the tracks. He's got that thing back in the sparks, but the power behind it, it's coming. And he's not going to be able to, he can't stop it. Because it is predestined to happen at certain times. So take the time you have. You at home, if you don't know Jesus, I pray right now that you bow your head. As a matter of fact, everybody, let's do that. Because I'm going to tell you right, we had, in this body, we had one rededication this week. So, y'all at home, take a moment and bow your heads. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for all of us. Lord, I pray that you move in the people's hearts, Lord God, for anybody who knows that they're not as on fire as they should be. Lord, right now, I pray that you begin to stir that fire in them. And I want you all to repeat after me. Heavenly Father, stir in me your love. Father, I receive everything Jesus did. I am a new creation. Amen. Now, if you said that for the first time, you're saved. You just became a Christian. And if you've been feeling blah in your faith, you just got some kindling put on the fire. Don't forget to put the coal on it too. Okay, we can splash a little diesel fuel on that fire, get it going good, some light sticks, but you need the big logs to carry you through the night. Amen? Y'all can tell I burn wood to keep warm. All right, so let's stand. So I'm going to bless you, and I pray that as we go out of here, that our hearts burn with the passion of Christ. That everybody has got to know. They've got to see. They can't just say, well, I believe that there's a world, one world order coming and all that. Yeah, so do I. The Bible's been telling about it for centuries now. We're just in the position where we can see it. They can control cash. By the way, cash has absolutely, your credit, your bank card, none of that has anything to do with anything. They used to trade pearls and beads as cash. It's whatever man finds of value. Right now, I think it was at Bitcoin. I saw a guy the other day talking about Bitcoin as the next greatest thing. He's the one predicted a few other things, apparently. Well, if people bought Bitcoin and had a bunch the other day, it split in half. So if you had $10,000 worth of Bitcoin, you only had $5,000 now. I don't know, but see, they can control everything. They can change. That's why I said don't be trusting in your bank accounts. And just like that, they can change the monetary system. Think about it. He's the one that started telling all this stuff. He told Daniel so much, Daniel ate the book. He was forced to eat it, and it was bitter. Think about that for a minute. I don't think the paper was bitter. I think what he ingested was bitter. What the words that he saw had to write down for prophecy. I mean, just, it's phenomenal. All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you and praise you for your people. Lord God, I bless them today. Lord, I thank you, Father, for your healing touch. Lord, as you touch baby Noel, Lord, you clear up this eczema from his body in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for your protection over your people. Lord, I pray that as many go back to work, Father, that you bless them. You put in them patience, Lord God, because I know they're going to need it. And now, Father, as we go about, Lord, we pray that you do help us to talk to people. Open the doors for us to tell people who Jesus really is, not just some imagination. In Jesus' name, amen.